are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast to talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see right there. You can call me Sully. And thanks for making Locked On MLB your first listen, as we're available on all of your free podcatcher feeds. Hey, this show is being dropped on Monday, the 18th day of October, 2021. And we're going to be breaking down the first two games of the National League Championship Series that are played for odd reasons in Atlanta. And that came, at least in terms of the first game, to Atlanta's big benefit. This show is available on YouTube, all the free platforms, the easy-to-use Odyssey app. If you have a smart device, be sure to play podcast Locked On MLB or ask it to play some of the other great podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Braves and Locked On Dodgers. You can follow us on Locked On MLB Pods on Twitter. Same handle for Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. I am recording this part of the show late on Saturday night, as I'm going to be talking about both games of the National League Championship Series as we go on to this week. And probably get a couple of insider and expert opinions in section two as well. I just want my initial thoughts. First of all, it's still absolutely surreal that the 88-win Braves have home field advantage over the 106-win Los Angeles Dodgers. I understand it's because of divisions. I personally find divisions to be obsolete. I think that there's so much cross-pollinization, and we've already seen instances where the wild card game and the division series can eliminate some of the best teams. I'm not a fan of how it's set up, but it is what it's set up, and maybe a situation where the 106-win defending World Series champion goes to the 88-win gotten there because the division stinks Braves, and the Braves have home field advantage and got to have a walk-off win. Already home field advantage worked into to their advantage. Now, to be fair, the Dodgers handed this win to the Atlanta Braves, but it was indeed handed. Riley got the walk-off hit. He also got a game-tying home run, so it's safe to say that he was the big star of the game. But the Dodgers put runner after runner after runner on base. I don't think they had a single inning where they didn't have at least one base runner. And yet, they scored two runs, one of them on a solo home run by Will Smith. And so, you saw the parade of pitchers. This was not lost because they didn't have Clayton Kershaw, who's injured and probably not going to play in the postseason, may not play next year for all we know. This is not because it was a bullpen game. Yes, Corey Knebel let up a run in his lone inning that he pitched. He threw a wild pitch that scored a run. And Gonsolin let up the game-tying home run. But everyone else, Bickford, Brule, Vasia, Kelly, Kenley Jansen, each threw an inning. I have no idea what would have happened if this went deep into extra innings, because they used up, how many pitches did they use? I mean, they used 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Eight pitchers in a 3-2 game. I get why they're doing it. I do. I just sigh a little bit, because when you have a game that is clearly not a slugfest, do you give a guy another inning? I mean, would this have come back to haunt the Dodgers? I don't know the answer to that. One thing I do know, however, is that a base running blunder by Chris Taylor is going to haunt the Dodgers, especially if they don't win this series. You know, they were rallying in the ninth, and Bellinger got the hit with Taylor on base. And it would have been, who was up after Bellinger? After Bellinger, it would have been Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts would have been up with a runner in scoring position and two outs in the top of the ninth inning. And Taylor rounded second to head for third. And instead of committing to that, which he may have made, I don't know, he stopped and got caught in a rundown. And at that moment, you kind of say, like, oh boy, this is not going to end well, is it? And it goes to show you how quick the fortunes can smile or frown on you in October. It was about a week ago that Chris Taylor hit the walk-off home run to end the wild card game. And he lived the fantasies of every single baseball fan, hitting the game-ending, postseason clinching home run, sending Dodger Stadium to a delirium. Because remember, the Dodgers escaped St. Louis by the skin of their teeth. They escaped San Francisco by the short length of a check swing. And so now here they are in Atlanta trying to make quick work of it. And Taylor becomes the GOAT. And the old version of the GOAT, not greatest of all time GOAT, but scapegoat, the Billy GOAT. And he wears the goat horns for being tagged out to end that rally. Braves come around, and Riley is the player of the game. Max Fried, let's give him credit too. We went six strong innings. And so here we are. It's weird because the Red Sox and Astros series are between two, at least on paper, evenly matched squads. And it would behoove the Red Sox, and they did it, to win at least one game in Houston and therefore giving them a chance to, you know, if they play winning ball at home, they'll be on the verge of clinching the pennant. They have the home field advantage. Now, the Braves went into this already with the home field advantage. The Braves went into this because of our stupid rules regarding the division versus wild card. The Braves already have the home field advantage. But their main goal seemed to be, do you maintain that? Can you win a game against the Dodgers? Even though they already had the home field advantage, the prevailing winds, the prevailing thoughts, and heck, my prediction, I thought it was going to be a clean sweep by LA. And so now Los Angeles is the team that's trying to avert a sweep right now. The Braves oddly did what they set out to do by winning a game at home. They maintain home field advantage. They didn't hand it over to the Dodgers. Now, they have to play on Sunday as well. I don't know what's going to happen on Sunday. You already do. You have that advantage over me. Now, I've seen several Dodger fans shrug this off online. This was the bullpen game versus Fried, the Braves, probably the Braves' best pitcher this year. And the game that's going to happen on Sunday, which you already know what happened, but I don't know. So no spoilers, please, for me here living on Saturday. The Dodgers are not going to be throwing a bullpen game. Who do they have going up there? So they have on Sunday, they're going to be throwing Scherzer, who got the save in San Francisco the other day. Anderson's pitching for Atlanta. Atlanta's going to be loosey, and did I mention goosey? Atlanta has nothing to lose. Atlanta's in a similar place to St. Louis, so remember who almost did it. And the idea of the Braves beating this Dodger team is so absurd. The fact that they won game one and aren't going to get swept, in some ways, it's like, wow, we're already doing better than anyone thought we were going to do. No one thought they're going to get past the Brewers. This is a team that had a losing record at the trade deadline. And here they are, three wins away from the World Series and with home field advantage. All they have to do is win all their home games, and they're going to the World Series. And they got the hits when they need to. It's funny. The Dodgers and Braves each got only one hit with a runner in scoring position, but the Braves made it count. The Braves made it count big time. They got the RBI single in the bottom of the ninth. They got a solo home run, and they got a wild pitch that scored a run early in the game. And so, give the Braves credit. they've put the Dodgers on their heels, and the Dodgers are going to hand the ball to Max Scherzer to try to avoid a sweep. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to end part one right here, and we're going to go into part two. By the time we do part two, we will already know what happened. So let's hang tight. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friends log in for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream. It brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part is there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. All right, so game two is in the books. Let's hear what Jeff Snyder of Locked On Dodgers had to say about the game.
After the Giants series reminded us why we love baseball, so far this series has reminded us why we hate baseball. What's up? It's Jeff from Locked On Dodgers. The Dodgers go down 2-0 on 2 walk-off wins by the Braves. Game one, you kind of accept a little bit. Game two, much harder to accept. And, you know, now they go home down 2-0, really needing to win really all 3 games at home. The Dodgers aren't going to come back from down 3-1 again like they did last year. They need to put their foot on the gas right now. Vince and I are going to be here with you tomorrow morning to talk all about the first 2 games of this series, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Unfortunately, more bad and ugly than good to talk about right now. So check out Locked On Dodgers like you do every weekday morning wherever you get your podcasts and or on YouTube. And check out the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, yeah, I mean, the Braves are up 2-0. And, I mean, look, this is not old man Sully talking. This is saying the obvious things out loud, Sully talking, which doesn't quite fit on a marquee. When you're constantly bringing in another pitcher every inning, you're going to do two things eventually. And this happened to the Rays last year. Eventually, those pitchers are going to wear down because they're being used every day. And also, you're banking that all of them have at least one good inning in them. Julio Urias did not on Sunday night. He looked terrible. He looked absolutely terrible and put the Dodgers behind the eight ball. Now, look, while the game was going on, I wondered why Max Scherzer was coming out in the middle of the fifth inning. Now, as it turns out, Scherzer was basically running on fumes and said as much to Roberts. So this is according to Dave Roberts, that he said, "That's all I got." And I have no reason to distrust Dave Roberts on that. And Max Scherzer is someone who would run through a wall to win a ball game, but he's also one to know when he has his best stuff or not, and knows that the Dodgers are going to be in a better place to win if he's not subpar. Now, when they started bringing the parade of relievers, I was thinking, isn't Max Scherzer at 70% better than most of these people? I still kind of think yes. And squeezing him out to the fifth or sixth inning, I mean, while it may be dangerous, you also aren't in a situation where you have what happen, which was you brought in the parade of relievers, expecting them all to be great. One wasn't, and here we go. And I started thinking about my concept of the headliner as a pitcher as opposed to a starter. If you knew you only get 3 or 4 innings out of Scherzer, wouldn't you rather have them be the 3 or 4 innings at the end? Of course, you know, you're having multiple bullpen games, but at some point you're going to have to stretch one of these pitchers out, because there's going to be another game like what happened between Boston and Tampa Bay, where they're just going to keep handing the ball to Nick Pivetta for 3, 4, 5, 6 innings or however long he wound up pitching. And you're going to see a critical postseason game played with all of the bench players already played and every pitcher already pitched, and some schmuck's going to be on there till, you know, the 15th, 16th inning. It's going to happen. And you're going to see a critical game decided with two mediocre pitchers on the mound. So look at, I mean, there's not much more to say about the game except a couple of things. First of all, the Braves have zero pressure on them. Zero. Nobody thought they were going to hold serve and have the home field advantage going back to Los Angeles. I thought they were going to get swept. But when they won with the walk-off game on Saturday, I thought, well, there you go. Well, then, the, you know, Scherzer's pitching. They're going to split them. And so good for the Braves. Well, now good for the Braves. They're up 2-0. Riley is playing on a different level. Their Braves have got very good pitching out of their bullpen. And here we go. It looked like two pitches into the game, this was going to be an old-fashioned butt-whipping by the Dodgers. Two pitches into the game, it was 2-0 Dodgers. But then they only scored two runs after that. Jock Peterson turned into one of the great trade deadline acquisitions of all time with yet another home run for the Braves. And Riley pitched, you know, hit on another level. And then next thing you know, here we are. There's so little pressure on the Braves right now. They could lose in six, get swept in Los Angeles, and lose game six at home. And nobody would tilt their head talking about them. No one would say, oh, what a lousy job they did. They're playing with total house money. And all they have to do is not get swept in LA and split at home when they come back to Atlanta. And they're in the World Freaking Series. A team that lost Ronald Acuna Jr. in, what was it, June, July, whenever they lost him. And it made it clear that, you know what? It's a lost season. And then they lost Soler. I mean, so many people have been lost on this team. This is a lost season. A sub-500 team at the trade deadline is two wins away from the World Series. Two. And I can't help right now, and I swear I'm not trying to pour salt in any wounds here, but I can't stop but help right now but think about the Tampa Bay Rays. And I'll tell you exactly why. The Red Sox were not supposed to beat the Rays. And remember, the Rays overwhelmed the Red Sox in game one and were winning 5-2 after one inning in game two. It looked like it was going to be a sweep. They got the Red Sox got those two runs in the top of the first. Then the Rays answered with five. And every single Red Sox fan on the planet Earth thought, well, that's that. They're going to lose this game. Now, the Red Sox came back to win that game, and then they had the two walk-off games, the extra inning marathon with the ball ricocheting off of Hunter Renfro, and then the game where Kiki Hernandez hit the sacrifice fly to win it. The Rays could have won either one of those games. They're both walk-off wins for the Red Sox. Imagine if the Rays had won, if everything else had stayed the same and the Rays won. This is what they'd be looking at right now. Now, I have no idea how they would have matched up with the Houston Astros. I thought they were going to clobber the Red Sox. So who knows what was going to happen. But they were, if they had won those two other games against Boston, they would have gone up against a Houston team that did not have Lance McCullers Jr. Now, granted, Tampa Bay doesn't have Tyler Glasnow, but you, as I said, you remove McCullers Jr. from that Houston rotation, and it suddenly becomes a much different animal. And so that's what would have been waiting for them if they had won those two other games against Boston. And they're on the verge of looking up and saying, if they can get past Houston, there's a chance they don't have to face either San Francisco or Los Angeles. I was thinking about that because the added bit of pressure that's going to put on the Red Sox and the Astros to win these upcoming games, knowing there's a chance that they could completely avoid the state of California. They could completely, I mean, they've already avoided the Giants. They could avoid the Giants and the Dodgers. They could avoid any team that won 90 games. They're going to avoid the Dodgers. They're going to avoid the Giants. They're going to avoid the Brewers, the team that I thought was going to win the World Series, and avoid the Cardinals, who went on the best stretch to get into the postseason. This is not to belittle the Atlanta Braves if they win those two more games, because they deserve a ton of credit that they defeated a Brewers club that was as good as they were and are halfway to dethroning the LA Dodgers. I'm not trying to belittle what they did at all. I'm just saying that as a potential matchup, looking down at it, it's like, I'd rather take my chances on an 88-win team that's playing above their head than a 106-win team that has images of a dynasty dancing in their heads right now. It's a much different animal. Much different animal. And I think about the Rays, that this would have been their year. If everything else, if you just replace the Red Sox with the Rays and everything else stays the same, this looks like a coronation for Tampa Bay more than anything else. Instead, what do they get? What do they get? They get a secondary prize? How about a Built Bar? Maybe we can send them Built Bars because they are the best tasting protein bars ever. And in terms of the world of sports, they're also the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. That's pretty cool, isn't it, Rays? Now, they got so many great flavors, coconut, cherry barcia, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. My personal favorite is raspberry. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box, get two of each of the nine flavors. They're not only delicious, but they're healthy too. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories range from 130 to 180, 4 or 5 grams of sugar, 4 or 5 grams net carbs, amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Orders today, get the grasshopper, cookie, or raspberry, whatever you want. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCK15, and you get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. Hey, there are two other pieces of news today that I think are worth bringing up. And one of the reasons they're worth bringing up is I talked about them on previous shows. Forgive me, I haven't looked up which date I talked about these specifically. But I know one I've been screaming about forever. And Major League Baseball, and I'll take credit for it, because I said here at Locked On MLB, and people follow me right here on YouTube, you can see it, that's Sully Baseball. I've been screaming about some of this stuff. But here's the two things that I think are very encouraging in terms of baseball as a product that people can consume and as baseball as an institution as a whole. Two things that look like they're going to happen probably as soon as the 2022 season. One is baseball is working on a streaming service that will allow people to watch home games, not on cable TV, you know, on their devices, where people watch most things, including what you're doing right now. This is where people consume their media. This is where you consume your pal Sully. Consume what I do. And I've been screaming for years that the idea of blackouts and the idea of not being able to watch the games on your device, the home games on your device, without all sorts of weird end-arounds, which aren't worth it because we have so many streaming services with so much entertainment. Why are we bothering with that? And it looks like baseball is going to do that. That's going to be a subscription service. Fine. Fine. I get it. I get it. This is a business. But the idea that the being able to watch it on a device will take away from people watching on television, I think is absurd. I think you're going to keep the television audience and find a new audience. This has happened all throughout the history of baseball. Putting games on the radio, putting games on TV, putting games on pay TV, putting games on the internet. You have found that you have built the audience, not shrunk it. And if this is where the eyeballs are, you want young eyeballs aren't watching TV. They're watching their devices. Trust me, I have two young people and I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher of special ed and the kids in special ed have devices and they know how to use them too. So baseball, welcome to the 21st century. You're about 21 years late, but you know what? It sounds like they're doing the right thing. I don't know the details yet, but like, as long as they're thinking this way, they will stumble onto the correct thing to do. And the other thing that I found to be very intriguing is the fact that they've announced in 2022, baseball will provide housing for their minor leaguers. That's so great. It's great. And such a no-brainer. But again, I heard someone say the best time to start a diet was like a year ago and the next best time is right now. Baseball should have done this years ago. They're doing it now. These are players who aren't making a ton of money, who can't get locked into leases. need to have that flexibility. I made the suggestion to work out a deal with a hotel chain, and each team has 60 permanent rooms in a local hotel, 60 for the duration of the season, 30 for the local team and their coaching staff, 30 for whoever is coming in as a visiting squad. So everyone always has a place to stay. If you want to make a sponsorship with Holiday Inn or Sheraton or whoever it is, great, do it. These are kids or, you know, journeymen. It's kind of like when I was doing stand-up comedy on the road, I wasn't expecting the Ritz-Carlton. Most of the times I got a, you know, Red Roof Inn, and that was fine. That's all you expected. If you're a minor leaguer, say, yeah, I got a motel room. Great. Doesn't have to be a mansion. It could be a motel room, literally a motel room with a picture of a fish on the wall, one of those talking fishes. That's saying yakety yak, don't talk back, or whatever those talking fish do. Because, look it, imagine removing that piece of anxiety from a minor leaguer. Removing that bit of, where am I going to stay? Where am I going to live? Where am I going to sleep tonight? You remove that anxiety and have them focus more on becoming a good baseball player and a valuable part of the organization. You're still going to be making chump change if you're a minor leaguer. You don't make very good money. But if you're not spending that money on your rent and trying and getting ripped off in leases or sleeping in your car, sleeping on the floor, come on, just put them in a motel room or whatever you're going to do and let them focus on being a better baseball player. If you improve some of these conditions, maybe some of the athletes that are on the fence of, am I going to play baseball, am I going to play football, which one will play, maybe a few more will pick baseball. Either way, these are two developments that at least show that something is heading in the right direction. And sometimes that's all you need. And sometimes all you need is a podcast, and we're going to be putting this on, having new at least 5, maybe 6 or 7 episodes a week during the postseason. And man, oh man, if it's Red Sox, Braves, this Red Sox team and this Braves team, that'll just be absolute insanity. If it's Braves versus the Astros, if it's the Braves at all, man, I said that the Braves should not have bought at the trade deadline, that they should have, what my suggestion to them was to don't blow the team up, but whatever players you're thinking about non-tendering or thinking about, you know, that you don't really fit into our long-term plans, nah, deal them. Because you may get a few minor leaguers, and you may even if the minor leaguers you get back for them don't turn out to be major leaguers, you could add some depth to your system. And now they have a housing. But, oh boy, Atlanta fans, you should be glad you didn't listen to your pal Sully. Because the Braves went for it. And here we are. They're 2 wins away from the World Series. So go to the free and easy-to-use Odyssey app. And thanks again for making us your first listen, because we're available on all the platforms to listen to podcasts. This has been Locked On MLB for Monday, the 18th day of October, 2021. I'm yours, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.